So, take it away, Sri.
Thank you, Elena. Thanks for having me come speak. My name is Sri. I'm in recovery from alcohol, but I stopped saying I'm an alcoholic because I'm so much more than that and have been for a while. After a while, it felt like it was just needless self-flagellation. It just didn't feel right. So I've started, last year or so, I've started saying I'm Sri. I'm in recovery. But a little bit about my background. I grew up in India. And I basically it was a pretty happy childhood. There was nothing in there that was that would have led to a career in of drinking, but and believe me, I tried to blame a childhood for it because it seemed like that was the easiest thing to do. It's like, oh, I was an alcoholic from childhood. No, that I tried blaming it, but it didn't work. The only thing of note in my childhood probably is that I realized pretty young, growing up in India, that I was gay and therefore didn't quite fit in and needed to figure my own path through life. Because back then it was basically not even spoken about. So it be even at that age, it became pretty obvious to me that I would have to figure shit out by myself. Let me put it that way. And also that I had to keep a secret. So I learned to guard myself and keep a piece of me to myself. And I also learned to how to be an outsider, to carefully watch and try to make sense of everything for my own security. And besides that, I hardly ever drank in India. It was just too expensive when I was growing up. So I didn't drink much in India at all. My drinking really started when I came to America and when I was 21. So I came here for grad school, and booze was much more accessible. It was part of socializing. And something else that I've realized only recently after I'm now like 18 plus years sober, but it was only in the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years I've realized that the other big reason why I started drinking as heavily as I did when since I came to America is that. So I left India thinking that, okay, I need space to be gay and I can be more accepted. And instead, I traded one set of fears for another, being a basically a brown immigrant in America. So it was lonely, it was scary. I also moved here to America in 1984, which was when AIDS really hit. So it was not a very fashionable time to be gay at the time, even in America. So that's when I really started drinking even more. I drank very successfully for many years, you know. After grad school, I moved to Boston for work, and that's when I came out really. And then most of the socializing was in gay bars, so I continued drinking. And I got very good at it. I hardly ever got drunk, you know. I just had a very high tolerance. Drank a lot. It wasn't an issue until one day suddenly I had a withdrawal seizure, and then it became an issue, and it came out of left field. I had no idea that I was alcoholic or addicted. I just went out every night and after work, never drank during the day, held down a job. And yeah, so what if I drank like 9 or 10 martinis every night? I was at work the next morning. But those 9 or 10 martinis hadn't kept enough alcohol in my system to last me till the next day. And one day I didn't drink enough and I had a withdrawal seizure. And I freaked out because I had no idea what to do. Because people like me are not alcoholic. Plus, I had always thought I had my shit together. And so I didn't know what to do. And those. Immediately after I found out I was addicted to alcohol, then I couldn't stop drinking and like 24/7. I'd convinced myself that if I didn't have another drink right now, I was going to have another seizure. And so all of a sudden, the psychological stuff that people talk about only hit me once I knew I was addicted. And I started going to AA meetings just because I wanted to show people that I was serious about it, about trying to quit, which I wasn't. I really wasn't. And when I walked in there, it was very dogmatic. There was a lot of God talk. There was a lot of very, it was very rigid. And I was like, this shit's not going to work for me. But I'll stay here because these people seem to be honest in what they're talking about. They seemed vulnerable, and that was something that attracted me. Or being, they were allowing themselves to be vulnerable. That kept me in rooms, you know, and it allowed me to kind of open up a little bit because I was used to always being guarded, and I hated being judged. And the shame of being an alcoholic was pretty crushing at the time. But I was used to living with shame, the shame of being gay. And once I came out, that shame lifted a bit. So one thing I did was I told people right away that I was going to do AA and stuff because I didn't want to go down that same road again. But AA really wasn't doing it for me. 6 months after my seizure, I went through six detoxes. I would come out and drink the same day. Finally, I went to rehab. I only went to rehab because I thought I was only drinking because of the pressure that my then partner was putting on me to quit. I was like, it's him. And if I go to a rehab, I won't have to see him for 3 weeks, and I won't have to drink. I'll feel fine. Of course, that didn't happen. I wanted to drink again. I mean, even in the rehab, obviously. But that's when I realized that it was me. Another big thing that happened there was that there were a lot of people there that were people from the streets, essentially, people that I wouldn't have actually given the time of day to outside of the recovery thing. I didn't realize I was a snob. I always thought I was this citizen of the world. I mean, I was kind-hearted and empathetic. I always thought that shit. Because I gave a homeless person a dollar, I thought that meant that I was fine. But there were all these people there who were actually trying to get sober and go back to lives which I, in that at that time, thought were not even worth living or worth going back to. What kind of life is that they want to go back to? That's how arrogant and clueless I was. But they taught me the courage and gave me they almost shamed me into trying to quit because my life was actually pretty good. So I did. I was like, okay, I'll get out of here and I'll try. And I haven't drunk since. But one of the things about AA was that I saw that it was not only dogmatic, but it was a sort of a set of rules that you need to follow. You get a sponsor, you do these things, you do A, B, C, D, and then the magic happens and you live happily ever after. And I didn't buy that at all. I'm also used to gaming any system. Give me a set of rules and I can game it. I can do whatever you do, but do it to my own benefit. So my first instinct was, this is all a load of crap. I'm going to get a sponsor and I will do whatever they say and I'll do the steps and write beautiful essays about it. I can write beautiful essays about anything. I can tell you whatever you want to hear and convince you that I mean it. So that was my first instinct. So I was like, nah, I don't think I'll do that. There's something here. Something's keeping me here. I don't know what it is. So I never got a sponsor. I've never had a sponsor. I've never done steps. So that, and I stayed sober for the first 6 months were miserable because I wasn't drinking. I was going to a lot of meetings, but it was almost worse than when I was drinking. So that's what turned me on to the idea that okay, there has to be more. And I had to actually basically sit down and ask myself, why do I even want to do this? If I'm going to stay sober, what do I want? And I had to come up with some message for myself. And I told myself that I'm doing this for happiness and for peace, which meant that that's where my spiritual recovery began. I needed to figure out how to get more happy, how to get more peaceful, and start dealing with stresses. And I'm not religious at all. In fact, I am very anti-organized religion because I deeply distrust organized religion. And so this whole thing about a higher power, I wasn't sure how to deal with that. And basically, for me, it is. Well, that was one of the things. AA says you have to turn your will over, and I was not. That didn't make sense to me because it's also not good for me. The kind of person I am, I don't want any responsibility. I can turn my will over to God, and then do whatever the fuck I want, and tell myself that that was God's will. That's what I'm used to doing. And the biggest thing I've gotten out of AA is to claim responsibility for my actions. So this thing about turning my will over was not a good idea for me. But I chose to look at it as, okay, I need to train my will to do the right thing. And also, I needed to figure out essentially what I believed in. It was easy for me to say, oh, I don't believe all this stuff. But if I don't believe that, what do I believe in? So that was the start of my spiritual quest to some extent. So my journey has been mostly inwards in AA. And it's been trying to figure out not just who I am, but what I want and what do I stand for. If I don't believe in other people's rules, I have to figure out what rules to live by. And the other thing about this thing, if I reject the rules and the dogma that AA imposes, I need to come up with my own rules to live by. So for me, it's been about figuring out what my moral code is and adhering to that. And that has been it's been an incredibly rewarding journey because I do things because I believe in them and not because other people want me to do that. And it honestly does give me, I mean, somewhere in this journey, I discovered that I actually did have a conscience, that I do have a sense of right and wrong. And it gives me happiness and peace to stick to that path. But I can't do that. I cannot come up with a moral code without it on my own, as in my own head. I need to live in a world with other people, so my moral code has to depend on other people. So for me, my spiritual journey has to include other people and other people who are also on a spiritual journey, so that I can test my ideas against theirs. I have to learn from other people. And so I do go to a lot of meetings. I do reach out to a lot of people because it helps me. It helps me figure out who I am and who I want to be. And it's been a great journey so far. It is so I was actually getting sort of bored with a lot of meetings and doing the same things again. So one of the things that happened is about the start of the pandemic, I felt the need for being among more people of color because of the politics at the time, the racial politics. And I felt there were things I could not talk about. The other thing is, I mean, I'm talking mostly about a spiritual journey. If you're talking about a spiritual journey, there is no such thing as off topic. It is all part of my spiritual journey, and I need to be able to talk about it. So there were certain things that I couldn't, I felt the need for being amongst other people who went through what I did and experienced the same things as I did. And that gave me a huge, I don't know. It changed my recovery quite a bit because I realized that I wasn't quite being honest with myself, even. I was talking to an audience. I was still trying to wear a mask to be acceptable to mostly gay white men who were my audience at the time. So it's been. My journey has been pretty interesting because it's mostly been inwards, and I control it, which I want it that way because most of my life I've led responsibility. The biggest thing I've gotten is that I can take responsibility for my life, including my mistakes. I'm not afraid to make mistakes now. And another big thing AA has taught me is that I can move on from mistakes. If I see something about myself I don't like, I can change it. It's work, but I have to do it. I'm lazy too. I don't like doing work. Had I got a sponsor and done the steps and blah, 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 I wouldn't have grown at all. I'd have gone to 100 meetings a week. I would probably have 100 sponsees. I would do all the things that I need to tick off to be an AA superstar, and that's what I would have been. But I wouldn't have grown at all. So I'm glad I've done things the way I have because I'm completely different from who I was. But to get current though, one of the things, if you take responsibility for your own moral code, it's hard because right now I feel like the world as I knew it has completely changed very quickly. And I don't know how to adjust my moral code to that. So I'm frankly at a loss, but that means I need to figure shit out all over again. But I have the tools to do that, and I've done it. I've done some of it before. So I'm hopeful, but that I'll figure out how to live in a world that I don't understand anymore. But then, when I first came into AA, I didn't understand the world. It didn't make much sense. And I found a way to make sense of it, except now the world has changed, and now I need to figure out how to make sense of the world as it is and my place in it and how I relate to it. So that has been sort of what my journey in recovery has been. It's not just sobriety. Sobriety is only, I'm only sober because I cannot be in recovery without being sober. My sobriety is not an achievement. I do view recovery as something that I'm proud of. So yeah, that's all I have. Thanks.